हरिः ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर श्रीवत्सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 5, the supremacy of Bhakti as the ultimate path. So we're continuing with Anucheda, long one, a very long one. 115. Ah, keeps going. Yeah. Okay. So then how everything is connected to Krishna, right? So then this is based on the verse, the Bhagavatam verse before. And then the Acharya mentions, the devotees mentioned above perform worship the Lord in all varshas, in all worlds, in all universes, and beyond the universes. This is proof that bhakti is performed in all places, right? Because you were saying all times, all circumstances, all places, you know, by all people. So that aspect being established, then here it's all places, because it also, continues everything here, all the varshas here, because we're performing here, but all the varshas are performing, right? And then in all the worlds, so the 14 worlds, there's devotees all there. And then in all the universes, so every universe is like that. And beyond the universes, so we see that beyond the universes, they're serving with Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and then beyond that, then you see that then in Vaikuntha, in Gauloka, you know, and then in Braj, so all places they're serving. So then he's saying here, all the senses are used in bhakti. Manasano acharena paricharya harim muda hare van manasa gamyam tam shakshad pari pratipedire. Serving the Lord joyfully by mind and articles of worship, fortunate persons directly meet the Lord who is beyond words and mind. Quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.1.182 from a Purana. It is well known that one can reach perfection in bhakti by using external senses, mind, or words. Right? An example of using all materials in bhakti is given. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayakchati taraham bhaktya upaharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. I accept what is offered with devotion by the unmotivated devotee. A leaf, flower, fruit, or water. Bhagavad Gita 9.26. Right, so that means all materials can be used. Right, all the senses are used, all the places are used, all the different kinds of persons are engaged, like that. Then bhakti involves all types of activity. Pure devotional service rendered to the Supreme Lord, consisting of hearing, chanting, meditating, accepting it with faith, or praising others who perform it, immediately purifies even those who are envious of the Lord and the universe. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.12, right? So it means who are envious of the Lord and the universe. It means every living entity in the universe, they're envious towards and the Lord. So pure devotional service can, you know, by hearing, chanting, remembering, all they can purify, accepting with faith, praising, can purify anyone. So so the point being made is that bhakti is the ultimate aspect in everything. There isn't anything that's it's not ultimate in. So when it says it's the ultimate path, that means on all that, everything of karma is there, is engaging in bhakti. Everything in jnana is there, everything in yoga. You know, so it's the perfectional path. So by following that, you already get the benefits of all others. You know, just like if you have a tree on the bank of a lake, and in the water reflected is the tree with all its fruits and flowers and everything. You don't have to go to the shadow or the reflection to get anything. You get it from the original tree. So you can't say, oh, bhakti is one of many paths. No, it is the path that, you know, it's various details of application, since it's connected with Krishna, who's unlimited, and therefore all unlimited, you know, features are contained within it. Those are reflected in the material world, and because people don't see Krishna and don't see themselves as servant of Krishna, they don't identify that these are all parts of Krishna, of bhakti and service to Krishna. They identify them according to their conditioning, because we saw before when, you know, when fear arises, you know, fear of the relationship with God and his position, then we enter samsara, and that, and we identify with the body. We identify with the body, enter samsara. And so then that forgetfulness of Krishna then generates all that. So now in identifying with the body, then we're going to identify externally around the body. Since the body is the field, that means we interact with the world through the body. So what senses, what kind of quality of senses and mind and, you know, emotions and intelligence that we have in our level of consciousness, that's what we see in the world. Even though there's maybe so many things there, we only see that. It's just like going into a, let's say, one of these large supermarkets, you know. I remember, you know, going into, I think it was in Hungary, maybe it was the largest Tesco at the time, the largest Tesco's in Europe, you know, continental Europe. And so then, I don't know, but from what I've seen in England, it was probably bigger than what's in England also. But probably from one side to the other could have been, I don't know, you know, some hundreds of meters. It wasn't like normal stores that might be, you know, a big one might be 100 meters wide. This was like, no, this was like 2-3 times that. If you were at one side and looked to the other, you couldn't hardly see the other side. You know, you can see that it's there, but you can't see any detail. So now when a person goes into that store, even though it's so big and has so much variety of stuff, you're only going to notice what's important to you. That's all. You go down, you know, 100 different cereals, you only see the one that you like. And if there's something that's similar that you could relate to, you might notice that and go, oh, that's interesting, and then walk on. But out of all those, you're not going to notice any of the other ones. You know, same with all the condiments, same with all the vegetables, same with all the, whatever it is that you like, you'll only see what you can relate to. And someone else walks in and doesn't buy anything that you buy. Completely different what they're going for. Someone else is going there, let's say, for the clothes. Right, that. Someone else, you know, so that's the thing, is that everyone's going for what they can relate to according to their particular conditioning and not beyond. Right? They can see things that are similar, you know, that can be related to, but they're specifically going for what they want. But there might be a few items that, you know, oh, that's interesting, or, you know, maybe next time, or, you know, oh, I could use it in this, you know, and, you know, there's some thought, but it's because it's still connected to your nature and something you could use. So that's what happens in the material world. All this unlimited features of bhakti being reflected into the material world. Then, according to your conditioning, you will only see whatever matches your conditioning. And because of that, it will have its own vocabulary, its own definitions, its own processes, and all that. and be given a certain name. And so therefore, in general categories, that will be karma, jnana, and yoga, you know, or karma, jnana, and upasana. And then they have their subdivisions. And you only see that. If you're a Shaivite, you only see that. If you're a Shakta, you only see that. If you're Ganapatya, then, you know, there's that. You can relate to the other two, but you don't relate anywhere else. So the whole point is you're going to relate to what you're into. And because of that, it has its own names. You know, karma, even though the same principles of, you know, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana are applying, the aspects of Sambandha, it'll have different names than the same things that might be there in jnana or upasana. Right? Because it has to relate together with the other elements and to what you're doing. Right? Because everything's based on a verb. Right? Nouns are materialized, or the situation, materialized situation that can accomplish verbs. That's what they are. Right? You can't do something without a thing. Right? So a thing can do a particular action is because it has the qualities necessary to do that action. So in other words, the noun is the manifestation of the verb in things that can therefore be involved and associated with that verb, with that action. Right? And so because the action is karma, not bhakti, not jnana, not upasana, therefore it has its own particular items that are there, and they apply in a particular way that are not applied in others. But they're all working on the same principles because they're all coming from the same place. You know, it'd be like going into a, let's say, an art store, you know, to give the example that it's the same things but used differently. And you get the paintbrush. Like I remember the other day, we bought a paintbrush, you know, very nice, you know, like 1 inch wide, you know, which means like what, 2.5 centimeters, you know, by 8 millimeters thick, you know, with a, you know, wooden handle and the nice long bristles and all that. Now that's generally used in painting for doing edging. You know, around windows or on moldings and, you know, little things for a little bit, you know, more serious paint, but something that has some detail to it. What did I use it for? I used it for cleaning the AC unit because it's thin enough. You can stick it inside and get into the roller and then do that because there's so much junk in the roller, you know, that blows. Right. And then I had a small one like that, you know, that would be for a regular painting. But let's say if you're doing, you know, major kind of landscaping or sky, not the real fine for detail, one like that. That was for getting into the fins of the in the AC for, you know, because in there they get dirt in there also, you know. So I would go into that art store to buy those brushes because I won't get them anywhere else necessarily unless I go to a hardware store, and some of them I won't get, right? But to me, they're cleaning. But now the artist goes in there and those are for painting, or the painter goes in there and that's for what he does on the wall. So, you know, you understand? So the same thing, people will use them for different things. And so therefore, then you're going to call them by different names because it's not a paintbrush anymore. It's the roller brush, you know, or the fin brush. You understand? Though it's the same thing, and how a brush works is the same that you're going to use it on the AC, that use it for painting the walls and windows, or you'll be using it on a canvas. You know, does that make sense? You know, or you see the same thing, let's say, the same brush will be out there when you have, if you have ever seen them doing digs, the archaeologists doing digs, and they get out there and then they dig in, you know, they're going in there like with toothpicks. And when they find something, they get it back. Then they use a brush like that to brush off the dust. They're not painting with it. They're not, you know, so the point is depending on the field, the same thing gets different names because it has a slightly different function. The principle of how it works is the same. That's why if you understand brushes, you understand all brushes, right? But the point is this, we'll only understand in the area that we can relate to. But now, going back into the original reflection, you know, I say the whole store, that's bhakti, that they all fit into there. And so in bhakti, they have their names, their natural names. And then when they go into karma and jnana, those are the names that are applied to those things of bhakti that we're not using as bhakti. Right? Now, when we start using as bhakti, then they may retain the same names because they might have the names of bhakti since the principle is the same. Or we might adjust those names back to the original status. Does that make some sense? Like that? So that's what we're trying to show, is that bhakti is not just another path. It is the path that all other paths are reflected from. Just that they become perverted or distorted or different things like that, then it starts to get there. So there's nothing that's going on that's not actually a reflection of bhakti. Jivas don't do anything that jivas don't do. It's just that they start doing it in more and more perverted or distorted forms, you know, but that they still do the same thing that they would do, you know, in principle, you know, that they're going to interact with others. They get things to use for action, for interacting with others. Just that here we do it for ourselves or family or community, whatever, you know, or for money or that. Well, in the spiritual world, they just do those things for Krishna. So they have all those things so they can do all that nice things for Krishna. That makes sense. So there is only one path, as Krishna says, but if you're only planning to go a certain distance on it and using certain elements, then it's called karma and you're going to the heavenly planets, or it's called jnana and you're going to the Brahman, or it's called hell and you're going, you know, down in a bucket, you know, so like that. So whatever it is that you're doing, it's all on one path. But because we're for us, it seems to be new, we consider, oh, it's a path. I could do that or I could do this. No, there's bhakti or there's something else. So samsara will take you through all the different features of everything in the store, you know, and different births, you know, like that. But bhakti includes whatever is there in the relationship, you know, in the pastimes of the Lord that everyone's involved in. So the whole store is there. But you're involved in just one aspect. So the gopis are doing one thing, the cowherd boys another, Mother Jashoda and her associates are doing another, cows are doing a different, and they all have their connection where they relate to each other and all that and overlap. You know, so that's the perfection of bhakti, is that it includes everybody in a perfect system of interaction like that. And you won't get that anywhere else. That means, since everybody and everything can be engaged in bhakti, that means all those things that support bhakti, like Daiva Varnashram, you know, on the religious platform, can be followed by everybody. So the idea that, no, that's not for us, we can't do that, then you're talking about animals. You're not talking about humans, because humans can follow Varnashram, because the complaint is not about Daiva Varnashram, the complaint's about Varnashram. So if there's a complaint about Varnashram, that means you're not dealing with human life. You may be dealing with human form, but it's a two-legged animal, right? So human life means there, and devotee, then it only those things that are favorable to Krishna, so the Daiva Varnashram. So that's there. And so that's the whole point, is that you can see the situation, the concept of the person by what they're choosing. And if they go beyond it, where they're just absorbed in hearing and chanting, like Haridas Thakur, then that's fine. But you see, when he interacts with people, then he's very humble, and that he's not worried about what people think. You know, he's not just like Gopal Chakla, when he explained about one name of the Lord can clear the whole universe of sin, and that just by chanting, even in Nama Bas, you'll get liberation. If you chant in prema, if you chant in pure name, then you'll get prema. Right? Shuddha Nam will give you prema, Nama Bas will give you liberation. And so this one smarta Brahman, he didn't appreciate that, because for him, then liberation is the big goal and the big, big, you know, trouble and so much work. And how can you say it's so easy that just by chanting these names that anybody could do, you get liberation? No, you have to be born in the Brahmin family and educated and be doing all your sadhanas. And only then maybe you'll get, after, you know, this, that, and so many things. But here, no, even a child could be on that platform. So he got very angry and cursed Haridas Thakura. But Haridas Thakura didn't start yelling and screaming, "I'm a devotee. Do you know who I am?" You know, no. But he didn't start doing any of that. So he just moves on. And then, you know, Krishna takes care of Gopal Chapala. You know, so like that. So then that's the point, is that his etiquette is he respects everybody and he's not looking for respect. Right? He's always humble. He's always tolerant. So because of that, he's always chanting. So that is what all these other things are supporting in various ways. But you can also follow it just then. It's just on its own. Right? In the spiritual world, it will always be in connection with the devotees and the particular rasas that are going on. You know, that one has one's particular attraction, one's rati for Krishna. But here, is that will be, you know, is an internal aspect. And it's just externally, you can just hear and chant and remember about Krishna without any of these other things, you know, just the very minimal what's there. Immaterial energy takes care. You want to expand that and it connect it, then you can see it go into the Daivavarnashram. Then all of it goes like that. Then you can expand beyond that. The regular Varnashram, for us, we have no need, because basically beyond that, people aren't following anyway. And so unless you're from some kind of smarta family that may have details beyond that, then only then, if it pleases the family, you do it in the consideration of, you know, all the devotees of the demigods are all devotees of the Lord. Worship the Lord first, and then offer the remnants that you offer to the Lord, to the demigods. You know, are all these different things. So we see, and we have example, like we mentioned before in Bhagavatam, where some of the great kings and all that, due to the situation, then they set example on how even the extended, you know, Varnashram things, how you can use it in Krishna's service. So that way, technically, you can make the whole thing Daiva Varnashram. But, you know, for us, Daiva Varnashram means a streamlined form, a simplified form that's just, you know, focused on Krishna. And so then that works. Yeah, very nicely. Okay. Yeah. So that's why the same thing can be there in the spiritual world and here, and in all times, all places, all circumstances, because you're dealing with one thing. Krishna, everything is Krishna and everything's in Krishna. So you're dealing with one thing, Krishna and his energy. So that interaction with him is bhakti. And so that can be applied everywhere. So there's no situation where, oh, this can't be done. You know, like these modern philosophies, they come up with, oh, you can't do this bhakti here. You can't talk to these people about this or that. No, it's the only universal thing. Okay, from Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, whatever you give, and whatever austerity you perform, offer it to me, O son of Kunti. Bhagavad Gita 9:27. Examples of Ajamil and the mouse, who nibbled on a giwik, which then lit up the deity, indicate that activities even of bhakti abhas or aparada caused by bhakti abhasa have good effect. So even we're talking about even these things that are you know, not even proper, but they're done and they're done in some way connected with the Lord, and that point that's connected, that's the part. So that's what remains, right? Means the other aspects, you'll get the reaction of that. You know, that the mouse nibbled at the wick, and from nibbling at the wick, he moved the wick so that the flame came up. It means that the wick was just about to go out in the deity room. And a mouse came in and saw the wicks. And believe it, I mean, it's not just a happenstance story. Mice and rats love giwicks. They love them because it's just like a, I don't know what you what it would be comparison, but they get a ghee wick, right? Pull it out, and then they sit there and suck on it and suck out all the ghee. So sometimes in the house when we'd come and we'd be go looking for, you know, in the evening to light the lamps or the morning, especially the morning, to light the lamps, and you find there's no ghee wick. And so then, you know, you get another one, put it on, light it, and then later when it's light, you can look around, and over in the corner you find the ghee wick, completely dry. I don't know. They have the ability to suck every last bit of ghee out that is almost as if it was new. Not quite, you know, it's still, it's a little gray, it's not white anymore. And they say, so they love chewing on and sucking on ghee wicks. So here this mouse comes in, sees this ghee wick, so here's, you know, it's going out, so he goes to grab it. But in grabbing it, then it means the wick sits down, it burns down, so it's too close to the metal to burn properly, because you have to have some gap so that there is air. Right, so it's too close, it's not enough to burn. So by biting it and grabbing it and pulling it, then it pulls it out. So now the flame from is almost about to go up, then comes up nicely. But in so doing, I think the mouse may have been, you know, it burnt off his whiskers or something like that, you know. So he gets the reaction for you're not supposed to come in and steal the deity's ghee wick, but he got the effect of lighting that living entity went back to Vaikuntha. Right? After leaving the body as a mouse, he went back to Vaikuntha. Or it might have been just that happened then. He might have even died on the spot. I'm not sure. I don't remember the details of the story. But my point is the devotional aspect, that's Saragrahi Janardana. He takes the essence. The aparad part, that's just the part that's the problem. You know, it's just like you open the let's say an orange, right? So you take off the skin, you know, the tangerines, you know, and so you know, what's inside, you're not interested in the skin like that, but on the tangerine, there's those little strings you have to pull out, you open them, you know, take out the seeds and everything, then it's all nice. So you're only interested in that. It's not that, oh, it's got a string on it, throw out the orange, you know. No, then you'd have to throw them all out. So the point is that like Ajamil, you know, he's fallen down, he's done all this, but he called the Lord's name, right? So that was even, you know, Bhakti Abbas, Nam Abbas, like this, or Aparad, even, you know, that it's Nam Aparad that you're chanting in that just like the person, the example is given that devotees are walking on one side of the street, and on the other side of the street there's a bunch of ruffians, you know, or like that, or punks, or like that. And they see the devotees. So someone in the crowd, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, he points at the door, yeah, Hare Krishna, you know, like that. And he said, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he's the best man in the crowd because he chanted. So seeing the devotees, he spontaneously wanted to chant. He was chanting to deride the devotees. So you can say that's an offense, but he got the benefit from the chanting. So the reason that we say that, you know, it's a problem with, you know, all these different things is because they get in the way of bhakti. You know, so they slow it down. You know, it's just like, you know, on that wedding party, they've gotten in the boat, you know, to come back at night after the wedding, and they row all night, but in the morning they're still there at the dock. They didn't leave because they forgot to pull up the anchor. So it's not that there's a problem with rowing. There's not a problem getting in the boat. There's not a problem that they slept all night. You know, it's not a problem that coming back from a wedding and got in the boat to go back. The problem is they didn't pull up the anchor. So we're going to be very strong about it. You know, you did all that, but the point is they put in that effort because that's a normal, but they put in that effort. They're going to get some result for that. But that aspect of aparad, there, you know, that's going to hold things back. You won't see it for some time. So when it does clear, then it'll be easy. You know, does that make sense? When it does clear, let's say for that ruffian, he'll like chanting. But at the meantime, there's that he's deriding the devotees. So there's going to be some reaction to that. Someone's going to come along and call, tell him and slap him around. But at the same time, as he's gotten the benefit for chanting. Yeah. Right. So that's the thing. They have a good effect on the devotional platform. On the external platform, then, as we said, you perform an action in physical, you'll get a physical reaction. You perform it mentally, you get a mental reaction. You perform it with words, you get a verbal reaction. Like that, you use your intelligence, you get that aspect, reaction. So, however, whatever you do, you're going to get a reaction in that, whether good or bad, depending on the intent. So if it's for bhakti, then you'll always get that devotional aspect. But if it's covered by the other thing, you can't appreciate it. Just like I said, if the weeds are covering the bhakti lata, it's not that the lata is not there. It's just covered and it can't act. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
There
Krishna.
is also an aspect which is described in the next section about the person who is committing this aparadha. First of all, if he is ignorant, if he does it out of ignorance, but doesn't have the deceitful nature as the person who is in knowledge that it is offensive to do to deride the holy name, it is offensive to deride the Lord, but still does it. He's considered, he does it out of wickedness. But
Right.
if somebody commits this out of ignorance, even such chanting can liberate him and free him from
Right.
sins.
Right.
But for the other person, it doesn't because of his attitude. So, and
Yeah.
also, he doesn't have the faith in the Supreme Lord or engaging in bhakti. Then give an example of somebody like Duryodhan. He saw the universal form but didn't want to believe in it. So this distinction is made, and as to how somebody like Ajamil, even in the same body, he has the example is given again there, showing how even in the same body he could perfect after committing so many sins, but he never was committed any offense towards the devotees, and he was not just one time, he was constantly chanting the name of the Lord, which purified him from this offensive.
Right. But then you're also mentioning that in another place it was described that the living entity may perform all these different things, even the offensive things, that it's a problem. And then for who knows how many millions of births or lifetimes of Brahma, then he'll come back to devotional service eventually after, burning off all the
Yes.
reactions to all that. And then he'll continue where he left off.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But the
So there's
point is,
always a benefit to bhakti, but the point is if your attitude's right, you'll be able to access that now. And if your attitude's wrong and you're actually, have bad mood, especially towards the devotees, and the name and then the Krishna, then you may not be able to access that benefit for, millions of lifetimes.
it said the point is that obstacles are created, and there is a verse quoted that saying that it will create
Okay.
10,000 obstacles for such an attitude. You
Okay.
have to get rid
And
of
so
all of
all those obstacles. Okay. Very nice. So the point is bhakti is still the supreme path. It's always valuable. And in that is like who was saying, it says you knowingly you avoid doing anything inappropriate because you know the glory of bhakti and the reaction to committing offenses. But if someone doesn't know, they first come in contact or don't know and stuff like that, it'd be just like the devotees in 26 Second Avenue when they first were there, and because the only bathroom at the time was in the storefront, and so everybody was waiting in line to use the toilet. And so even Prabhupada was waiting in the line because devotees didn't know that, you have to deal with guru like this or that, or he's respected, let him go first. They didn't know. But it wasn't they were being offensive that they knew and didn't care. They just didn't know, so and eventually then when it becomes known, then they don't do that. So they move forward. It's not right, but it's like a child. Child does something wrong they don't know. So you show them the right way and they move forward. It's not that there's an obstacle. Right? If no one shows them or points it out, yes, they'll go on and develop a bad habit, that'll take some effort to get over. But the obstacle won't be as bad as if they're doing it in knowledge in that way. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Does that work for Jagadish Ji on those things? Is that obstacles will be created by the bad karma? Like that, more obstacles, and then by devotional service that can clear obstacles. But the point is, it's establishing, or it's what it's doing. And piety, it just, unless it's designated that that's the specific thing to clear, is that it's like medicine. You take the right medicine, it clears the disease. You take the wrong one, it might be good for something else. If you have a cold and you put on skin lotion, your skin will become nice, but it won't get rid of the cold. So if you do pious activities that aren't connected with purifying from the sinful activity, then it will give you the good result of doing the pious activity, but it won't clear the sinful. But bhakti can clear all obstacles. So that's why it's the supreme path.
Yes, Maharaj.
But that's when you do it for bhakti. When you do it just to clear, then you're taking that bhakti and pious activity. So that's an offense in itself. But that you went to bhakti, yes, you'll get some benefit from the bhakti aspect, but you're creating obstacles also. Yeah.
Yes, I guess there's a slight difference also between sin and offense. And sin is considered in bhakti that something that slows down the process and you have to deal with it, but offense, it blocks
Yes,
the
offense is
process.
worse. That's why kukinati of the four kinds of anarthas is the worst, because it's deliberately against devotees and stuff, finding fault. While and then dhiri aparad, that we also know is the dhiri aparad means the ones that happen because you don't know or just because you're not so expert, it just comes up. Then, by chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita or worshiping Shaligram Srila and all things like this, then those are removed because you're trying to do something nice. If you just don't care, then that's going to create an obstacle. But it's not going to be as bad as the obstacles created when offending the devotees. And then the lesser of them is going to be the asat trishna and hridaya darbalya. Just the weakness of heart to get solid in bhakti, or the taste for something that's improper. Those kind of things are going to be less because they're just dealing with that topical point. They're not dealing with something necessarily deeper. Does that make sense? Like you have a rash and it's just on the skin, but if it's really bad, if it's coming up because of bad digestion and all that, you have to actually take medicine to get rid of the whole, make the whole inside, and then the outside will correct itself. But if just you touch something that was impure, but inside your stomach's okay, you might get a topical rash, so you put some medicine on, get rid of it, and they go away. That's how you know. If you put on something on a rash and it goes away, that's all it was. But if you put it on and it doesn't go away, then there's something deeper.
Also,
So, yes.
actually, the sins or the prarabdha karma are immediately burnt for one who is, you know, embracing bhakti fully.
Yes.
But it said, like in the next adhyaya, that if it still remains, that means it is because of offense in previous life.
Okay.
So it's not the sins will never create an obstacle in that way for one who is determined and who actually practices bhakti. So if still you see that there is laxity in bhakti, he is attracted to other objects, that is because of the sin in previous life. The example is quoted of even Bharat Maharaj saying that why he got distracted is two reasons are given. One is because of sin in previous life, and another alternative reason that Krishna sometimes create prarabdha karma for increasing the longingness to see him.
Yes.
So those two aspects were discussed in that.
Okay, so that wasn't aparad then for Bharat Maharaj.
Which?
Bharat Maharaj.
No, it said two. Both of them were said. Some say it's because of this, so it could be either of that then. Jiva Goswami there doesn't give a definite. It's
because it
this.
Doesn't matter. That's the point. It doesn't matter.
But the point is that, the point is that if somebody is attracted to something else, even after practicing bhakti, that is because there is some offense he has done before. That's the point he establishes there. And laxity in bhakti and that both.
Okay.
So it's only offenses needs to be.
So, that needs to be dealt. So that would mean then Hriday Darbalya and Satrishna, those would be from obstacles created from previous offenses.
Yes.
But offense now in the deity worship is an offense now, and kutinati or fault finding is an offense that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, that is worse. The other one is nothing you can do about what you did before, but now you engage in bhakti sincerely, it will gradually clear that. But these other ones are creating obstacles, so they're worse.
See, because the point, if we talk in terms of sins, though it appears similar, if you talk in terms of sins, then there is an aspect that of karma and jnana involved in it. But this description that it is related to offense of previous life, so there is only bhakti, there is no need of any other, adhering to any other aspect to clear it. This kind of points are brought up and you know, when we discuss with people, other people, they bring up and make this as a central point because of that attachment to karma and jnana.
Yes.
That sins, we need to get rid of these. And if somebody is appearing little more sinful, then automatically is lower, and somebody is pious, then he's higher, all this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just due to attachments. Okay. So everybody, we're good? Yeah? Okay. Then going on to the next point. Bhakti should be performed in all religious acts. Yes, yasya smritya cha namok tya tapo yagya kayadishu nunam sampurnatam yati sadyo vande tam achutam. I offer respects to the Lord by remembering him or his name. All austerities, sacrifices and duties become complete. Skanda Purana. So it should be performed in all religious rites. So by remembering, he said, remembering his name, all austerity, sacrifice and duties become complete. So by always chanting about the Lord, hearing about the Lord, no matter what you're doing, then that makes that activity complete. Right? So it doesn't mean bhakti has to be, it's needed to be expressed through those religious acts. Those religious acts need to be expressed through with bhakti. Right? So if it's, in other words, if it's a religious act that's a natural form to support your expression of bhakti, then that is used for you. And so in that religious act, you're going to perform it with bhakti. Right? And, but if it's an act of religion that's not part of your field of activities, you don't need to perform it. Bhakti alone is enough. And those secondary activities that support that expression of bhakti. All results are achieved. Akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udharadhi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. The person desiring destruction of all desires, the person with all desires, and even the person with an intense desire for liberation, if he has good intelligence, will worship the Supreme Lord with pure bhakti. Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. So in other words, he worships with pure bhakti. He tries to do everything with pure bhakti. He may have these desires, but the bhakti, the service itself, he'll try to do that in a pure state. He may afterwards think, well, I'll get the result for this before he thinks I will do. But when he's performing, should be performed, you know, and as much possible with that pure state. That's then one will get the best result. One will move forward. All these attachments to these other things get cleared very, very comfortably. And at the same time, you get results and, you know, that which one may or may not find satisfying, but even that he gets the results. Then, you know, in all activities, you should then see is by Krishna's grace, you have the results. That's why there's something there to give benefit. And so by always being like that, then it'll always go. And then one may find if there's no need for those situations or results or like that, then one may would gradually with time stop performing them and just focus on other areas of devotional service. Right? Just as the branches and twigs are satisfied by watering the root, and just as the senses are satisfied by nourishing the life air, by worshiping the Supreme Lord, all worship is accomplished. Hmm. Okay, nourishing the life air. So it's all about that, nourish the life air. So through the food, through the breathing, through the all that nourishes, because the life airs are what make everything work. They make the senses work. You know, just like you move your arm, that's life air. You know, it may be done in relationship to the fire presses on the muscle, but it's the air pressed on the fire. So that means then Vayu, he makes everything move and work. Anything that functions is by Vayu. And so then nourishing the life airs then means whatever mechanics are there in the way of food and fresh air and sun and rest and all that, that nourishes the life airs. Therefore then the senses are satisfied by nourishing the life air. Then the senses are taken care of. So everything's taken care of by worshiping Krishna. It is said in this verse that by performing worship of the Lord, the worship of all devatas is also accomplished. Thus, bhakti includes all results, right? So then even in the upasana, by performing bhakti, if all the senses are nourished, all the life airs are nourished, that means the senses and like they are controlled by the demigods. That means by bhakti, all the demigods are satisfied. And so then everything is also accomplished. Right? So bhakti includes all results. In Skanda Purana, in the discussion between Brahma and Narada, it is said, Archite Deva Devesha Shankha Chakra Gadara Gadha No, Gada Dhare, Archita Sarva Devasyur, Yata Sarva Gato Harihi. In worshipping the Lord, holder of the chakra and conscient chakra, worship of all devatas is accomplished since the Lord is all pervading. Right? So the demigod themselves, that they are able to function in that capacity. They have the potency, they have the body, they have the facility, they have the knowledge. All those things are Krishna. Right? He is pervading all of that. So factually, by worshiping him, you've already worshiped them. By worshiping them without worshiping the Lord, it's indirect. You're worshiping the Lord, but the worshiper doesn't know it because it's indirect. He's using the Dharma as the main thing rather than the sub-Dharma. Sub-Dharma includes Dharma, but Dharma, even though it's actually dealing with the elements of sub-Dharma, but if the person doesn't know it, he doesn't get the benefit of it. It is seen in the Puranas that anyone who performs bhakti is successful. As well, the object, like a cow, which is given to the Lord, becomes successful. Right? So that means the bhakti is performed, as well as the object becomes successful. Just like the devotee offers milk to the deities, to Krishna, then you get benefit for having performed the bhakti, but the object means the cow also gets the benefit. You know, you offer rice, then the living entities that were the grass that grew the rice, they get also. Just like you get the benefit from making that offering, they get the same benefit. It's shared. Right? You know, so that's why things like vegan and stuff like that, we don't consider as, you know, viable, you know, religious methods of bhakti, because, you know, in any case, what benefit does the living entity get by veganism? None. Not that you're affecting, but by offering the dairy products to Krishna, the cow gets. So that's the whole point, is that they get. It's not that, oh, we won't eat this or that because of these. So yeah, if you can get proper things, nice, organic and all that, but if you have, the only thing around is something else, but you eating it, you're going to use it in Krishna's service. You're going to offer it to Krishna. That's devotional. You're going to use your energy you get from that food that may not have been organic is also going to be devotional. And those living entities that produced it is devotional. Well, if you don't do that, then, yeah. But the person who becomes a means for another person to perform bhakti, who accepts an object to please the Lord, or who gives something which is then offered to the Lord, becomes successful. Right? You know, just like you go to, I remember it was this one devotee, it was their service on Indudumaj's Polish tour to go around in the morning and collect flowers. So they would already arrange and go door to door to the people that had nice flower gardens and talk to them about, you know, if they could collect some flowers and use it for the deities. And they explained the whole thing of who we are and Hare Krishna and all that. And so they'd agree. And so then they would come in the morning and collect all that. The person's done nothing. He's just allowed that the flowers from his garden can be picked. Right? But them being offered to the Lord, then the devotee who came and made the arrangements gets the benefit. The pujari who offered them to the Lord gets benefit. And, you know, the person who's arranged all that gets benefit. But the person who gave the flowers in the first place, they get benefit. So that's the thing. Everybody benefits. The place or family in which a person performs bhakti becomes successful. Right? So if, you know, one devotee in the house, he's doing service, the whole place becomes purified and the whole family, because they're, you know, giving the place to stay and facilities and all that. A person related to bhakti as agent, object, instrument, receiver, giver, or place becomes successful. So that means all these different aspects, right? Means all the different variety of verbs, if you're connected with it, and that verb is connected to bhakti, you get benefit. Thus, bhakti is effective in all cases, right? So here, all cases means situation that you studied, but also every case means all grammatical cases and their application in real life, right? The subject, the object, the instrumental, the dative, the ablative, the possessive, all these different things. They all get, it's his flowers. He allowed you to take them. Now you offer them to Krishna, right? Or you as an instrument just got them, gave them Pujari, Pujari offered. You know what I'm saying? You know, but then another devotee, then they afterwards, then they get the flowers and the prasad, they take like that. Does that make sense? Or someone else caused it. Oh, we should, it's a big festival, so you should go out and collect the flowers and we should do nice decorations. They didn't do anything more than that, but they were the cause of it. So in that way, all cases literally means all the different aspects of grammar then is also, you know, bhakti. Bhakti should be performed at all times. Sarvada. That was sarvatra, right? And now this is sarvada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.36, right? Because it was sarvatra, sarvada. All times, all places, all circumstances, right? By the influence of time, the Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke to Brahma, the Vedic knowledge in which bhakti is the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.3. Right. So the Vedic knowledge in which bhakti is the essence. So that means he received all the Veda, the full Veda, but he's pointing out which bhakti is the essence. So then he learned it from bhakti being the essence. That's why he's the head of the Sampradaya. Right? So because he learned all these things in that line. So that means that there's nothing, because the Veda, it's all dealing with everything and everything's dealing with time. Right? All action is time. So therefore, all the times that the Veda is mentioned, those are all then in connection with bhakti, because that's the purpose of anything. So any action that you do, any knowledge, anything from the Veda is all meant for serving the Lord. It is performed in all yugas. Quote, whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dwapara Yuga by deity worship, can be attained in Kali Yuga simply by the chanting about the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.52. Right? So in every yuga, that was the point. Whatever they were doing in Satya, it was meditating on its connection with Vishnu. Right? Treta Yuga, it was all connected to a sacrifice. Dwapara was all connected to the deity. Here it's all connected to the holy name. Then from Vishnu Puran. Sa Hanis Tan Mahach Chidram Sa Mohasacha Vibramaha Yan Murtam Shanam Vapi Vasudevo Nachin Yate. The moment that one does not think of Vasudev, that moment becomes destructive, full of fault, illusion, and mistakes. Vishnu Purana. Right? So therefore it's all whatever. Anytime you're remembering Krishna, that goes well. Anytime you don't remember Krishna, that's where the problem will come up. So, yes. Is that, yeah? Good. Okay. So then we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.